If we could again navigate through the agenda in the interest of time. If I could start with item number one, approval of the meeting minutes of the January 17th meeting. Is there a motion?
This is Kathy, so move.
So is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll second it.
Is there discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion and properly made second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for a voice vote. Trustee Graves,
Yes.
Trustee Whetstone,
Aye.
Trustee Elicker, Trustee Petra Simone,
Aye.
Trustee Gormany, and Trustee Gormany's not here. Okay, Trustee Sagnol is aye also. Thank you. If I could put item two on hold, administrative matters on item three. Information only does not require the deliberation or vote of the trustees. Age annuity retirement, rule of 80, early retirement. If there are not any questions on item three, item four, also information only, does not require the deliberation or vote of the trustees. Unless there is a question or a unless there's a question of any of the trustees on item four, I'd like to proceed to, let's see, item seven, death after retirement information only, Helen Bauer, Warren Spainer. And item eight, survivor death after retirement information only, Martha Ermatruda, Rita Rapicolo, and Lindy Pirelli. If I can call upon the trustees for a moment of silence for the repose of the souls of these individuals. Thank you very much. Rest in peace. If I can go on to item number nine, payment of the bills. What's the trustees' pleasure on item nine?
Mr.
Mrs.
Chair, I
Pinnock.
make a motion to.
A motion's made. Is there a second to that motion?
This is
Mr.
Kathy
Chair.
Graves, a second.
Is there discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their voice vote. Trustee Graves,
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone,
Aye.
Trustee Elicker,
Aye.
Trustee Petra Simone, Trustee Sagnoli.
Aye.
I'm sorry, Trustee Petra Simone is an aye. Trustee Sagnoli is also an aye.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Gorman is here too.
Sampieri. Yeah, I was just gonna say this is Leanna. Trustee Sampieri is also on the call.
I'm sorry, I quite beg your pardon. Trustee Sampieri.
Aye.
Okay. I apologize. Again, age. If I could return to I believe it's item five, disability retirement reexaminations. And as the trustees are aware, the recipients of a physical disability retirement, a pension from SURF, are required within the first 5 years of disability to be re-examined by our medical consultant three times to determine if the debilitating condition continues to exist. That being the case, we have ex-employee Francis Kloss, who has undergone first re-examination. Have the trustees. What's the pleasure of the trustees if they review the results?
Mr.
Yes,
Chair,
sir.
do we have to go into executive session on these?
Well, you have to go into executive session if you're not ready to, make a a vote, definitive vote, without having to discuss the medical reports. If you want to discuss the medical reports, we have to go into executive session. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
No, I'd move approval, acceptance of the medical report.
I'll second.
Motion has been made and second. Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their individual votes, voice votes. Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Elker?
Aye.
Trustee Petra Simone?
You're on mute.
Trustee Petra Simone? Mark?
Aye.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Trustee Sampieri?
Aye.
And Trustee Sagnello is also an aye. Motion carries. Item six, non-service connected disability retirement. This applicant has submitted a non-service connected disability retirement. They have, they also have been going, have gone to Yale Occupational for an evaluation. Does, unless there's discussion of the medical records of this individual, which would require the board going into executive session, if not, and the trustees are prepared to make a deliberate vote based on the medical reports without discussion of the medical conditions, we can vote on it currently. What's the board's pleasure on item six?
I move acceptance of the medical report.
So moved. Is there a second?
This is Kathy. I'll second it.
Thank you, Kathy. Second. Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their individual voice vote. Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Elliker?
Aye.
Trustee Petra Simone?
Aye.
Trustee Sampieri?
Aye.
And Trustee Sagnello is also an aye. Let's see if I can. I'd like to return to the agenda to item two, administrative matters. Item 2A, New York Life acquires minority ownership stake in Fairview. Who's going to offer commentary on that? Legal counsel, financial consultant, or both?
Well, I'll start, and then I believe Derek will take over. So we recently received the documents that we're going to be discussing with a confidential marking. That's correct, right, Derek? And so we need to go into executive session to discuss these documents. So... that's been a request by Fairview, and if the trustees are willing to do that, there needs to be a motion, and then you need to say who needs to be invited in.
One second, Kara. Item A is New York Life requires minority.
Right. It's not listed as executive session.
No, I understand that. Yeah. Is B the same thing?
No, B, actually, we've just... been able to work things out, so that does not need to go into executive session.
Does it have to be on the agenda at all, or are you just going to discuss what your findings were?
We're going to discuss it in open session very briefly.
Okay, I get it. All right, is there a motion to go into executive session on item 2A?
Mr. Chair, Mark Petrosmal, I'll make that motion.
Motion has been made. Is it second?
Susan Whetstone, I second.
Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion made...
Excuse me, Chairman. I think you need to say as part of the motion who will be invited into the...
We want, all right, so we're going into executive session, and I think we will require whoever made the motion. I assume you're going to want to have the administrative staff, legal counsel, and... financial consultant also included, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so noted. Motions are made and seconded. I'd like to call upon the trustees for their individual voice vote. Trustee Graves.
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone.
Aye.
Trustee Elker.
Aye.
Trustee Petra Simone.
Aye.
Trustee Sampieri.
Aye.
Trustee Sagnella is also an aye. We are in effect in executive session. Proceed.
No, I think we need to go into executive session, right, with Leanna.
Yeah, Taylor's going to create a separate room, so you just have to accept the invite.
Say again. The motion was made to go into executive session, am I correct?
Yeah, Jerry, just join the room that I opened up. It says open up
Okay,
room
here I
one.
come. Here I come.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to have a motion now to vote on item 2A, New York Life, as far as the expressing our desire as to how it should be done, as opposed to having it take effect automatically on its own.
Yes.
All right, who's going to make that motion?
So I move that we accept the acquisition of the minority ownership stake in Fairview by New York Life.
Motion is made. Is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petra Simone. I'll second that motion.
Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion probably made in the second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their individual voice votes. Trustee Graves,
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone,
Aye.
Trustee Elker,
Yes.
Trustee Petra Simone,
Aye.
Trustee Sampieri.
Aye.
And Trustee Sagnella is also an aye. Item 2B is obviated. There's no need for discussion on it. We'll pr proceed to item 2C, revised SURF plan document. Legal counsel.
Jerry, this is Leanna. I think Carolyn was going to touch on it, but we do not need executive session for 2B.
Very good. Go right ahead, Carolyn.
Carolyn, you're on mute.
Carolyn.
Carolyn, you're on mute.
Carolyn.
Taylor, can you unmute her?
Leanna, I think Carolyn wants me to do this brief touching on what's
Yes.
going on that
Okay.
would have been talked about in executive session anyway.
Go ahead, Jack.
We can't get her online here. Just in brief, we had two hedge funds on Derek's recommendation that were approved on the same day on January 17th. That was Crescent Rock and North Rock. And for some certain reasons, we took Crescent Rock first. Their people were more quick in getting us right in touch with their counsel. And we worked out a so-called side letter with them, side letter or a letter agreement being a kind of like a variance in zoning law. There are certain areas of concern that SURF has in which it would like some special treatment as compared to what it might get under the regular partnership agreement or subscription agreement. Those are areas of concern for SURF in particular have been what courts are available to us. Can we get into the Connecticut courts if there's a dispute, or do we have to go out of state? What law applies, what indemnifications might happen if we were to have misrepresented things. And finally, confidentiality is a very important point for SERF. We're subject to Freedom of Information Act rules, and we want the maximum freedom to exercise our own judgment on those rules, rather than, as some of these investment vehicles would have it, that we would first have to get there, inform them, give them a chance to appeal before any freedom of information is honored, maybe make us cooperate with them in an appeal, which in our experience is futile and wouldn't do us any good anyway. So that's an area of concern as well. Crescent Rock went rapidly. It was wrapped up a couple of weeks ago, probably record time for one of these. They agreed to just about everything we wanted in our side agreement or side letter. And as of yesterday, it just cleared the final hurdle, which is a review by their administrative corporation. So that's completely on track. The other one, and the reason for the tentative executive session that's now been canceled, is that North Rock was taking a very different attitude. Instead of working with us on our language that we've developed over about nine of these investments with the aid of their counsel, which would make certain adjustments, rather than just going along with that, to our surprise, North Rock's legal team, as they put it, took a cleaver to one of our provisions of areas of concern and came back all crossed out. This is a little bit alarming. We've never seen this before, so we put it on the agenda for executive session in case that one turned out to be loggerheads. I'm pleased to report that the dam broke yesterday. We had a conversation with their counsel around 3:30 p.m. We tried to work together and get to a yes, and they agreed to turn around a new marked up document that would give us more of what we wanted, and they did that by 9:30 p.m. We circulated it late last night with an analysis of what it does and what it gets us of what we wanted, and it's nearly everything. And we can talk more about what's left, whether it's worth even arguing about. So at this point, this is why we said we don't need to go to executive session. This is not going to turn out to be a situation in which the trustees will have a hard choice or two to make as to how to proceed. So that's the story of that one. It's better. It seems to be on track now, so we don't need to talk about it in executive session.
Right. Job well done, Jack. But yeah, my attitude basically is a trustee, as an individual, is that these people came to us, we didn't go to them. I don't care if it's them or if it's another entity. They're not the only game in town. And if at any point our legal counsel thinks that they're, any of these companies are getting recalcitrant or little hard knuckles, get rid of them and just tell them, we're going to go with somebody else. We're not going to prostitute ourselves or any legal representatives on another company. So just keep that in mind when you're doing. You did a good job, and I'm happy that the potential crisis was averted. But if anybody get hard tries to hardball you, just we're not going to. They came to us, we didn't go to them. If they don't want our money, they can go to hell. Anything else yet, Jack?
Well, that's it on that one, Jerry.
Okay. Carolyn, thank you also.
Thank you.
Is she still
Thanks for
muted?
that guidance.
Okay. All right, if we can go on, let's see. C, revised SERF plan document.
We're going to turn that over to Jack, too.
Okay, Jack, you're on C now.
Okay, we started this project late last year to revise the entire SERF plan document. The importance of that document, well, it was central back in the days when you had to go to the IRS every 5 years. And that last produced a ruling in 2017 The IRS requires a single plan document. They're not going to go looking at a whole bunch of different documents. And the importance of it today is not that we have to go back to the IRS, because that 5-year program has been discontinued. It's now a program of self-policing with the assistance of the IRS, which turns out annual lists of needed updates. And the importance of it now is SERF has its origins in a whole variety of places, including old city ordinances and state laws going way back. And a bunch of, yes, and a bunch of union contracts and IRS provisions. And the main plan document is the place they're all gathered together, where they can be a reference source that Leanna can look at, that any of us can look at and say, what does it say when a question arises? So we got that done, and we reviewed it in detail just recently, and realized that we're going to want to circulate it at least to Leanna and Hooker and Holcomb. I get used to calling them by a different name, and see what they have to say about things that have come up that need resolution before we finalize this document. Just doing it ourselves, we can see a lot of things that could stand to be cleaned up that may have been a problem, you know, before the most recent restatement. We have different terms for different things, and maybe they could stand to be consolidated. So we did put together a little bullet points, executive summary of the things we've done. And I think you have that, if I'm correct. We did not lay the full plan document on you yet. So we've done that final circulation, which we now propose to give you the full thing. Full treatment for your bedside table at the next meeting. So under the bullets, we're incorporating all of the interim plan amendments since the last restatement. Last restatement was approved in 2017 by IRS. And by the way, they came back and checked, by the way, there was an amendment that the IRS ruling was conditioned on if you had to carry it out. And that was not on my watch, but they did come back on my watch and say, did you do this? And I'm happy to say it was well documented by Jill. And yes, we did. And here it is. So they went away. It's always good when the IRS goes away. We had a bunch of little mini amendments in connection with the what you may recall is the IRS tax-free disability ruling. Some of them were as small as just little changes of one word, to get it to match up with the workers' compensation statute, which is where the tax-free gets its source. So instead of a disability that arises out of or in connection with employment by the city, it has to be out of and in connection with. You may not think that's much difference, but the IRS does. And we had to, you know, some of the unions had it right and some of them had it reversed. So we had to amend everybody with associated memorandums of understanding to get that language right so they could participate in the tax-free. Another thing that came up in the course of the tax-free was the nurses and attorneys. There are newer unions that weren't in the central plan document at all. And they had to be in order to get into the tax-free ruling. So we added them as an interim amendment, and now we'll do so as part of the full plan document, which means they get plugged into a whole bunch of places in the document, depending on which other unions they're best grouped with in terms of similar provisions. Second bullet, check for IRS rules. We didn't find too much. That went pretty quickly, that there's, you know, nothing we have to do that just to stay tax qualified. We had to update the employee contribution rates. They are all affected, most of them, by more recent collective bargaining agreements than the ones that were reflected in the last restatement. So those all had to be updated. And then also there's a newer provision that people of at least age 60 can, who are when they're hired, can opt out altogether in favor of Social Security, and then they don't have to make any employee contributions at all. So that depends on the union contract, whether they've adopted that opt-out yet or not. But we're working that into the plan document. Update rule of 80 and 85. This again is all different according to the ruling. Some of them have dropped those provisions altogether. Some of them have changed them depending on age, length of service, or date of hire of the employee. So, I remarked it that, putting all these union provisions together in one place is like, I think I told Carol, it's like wrestling a bundle of snakes that are all trying to crawl out in different directions. But I said that's kind of disagreeable, and maybe we should talk about herding cats instead. But the objective is to get them all in one place and grouped properly and readable. We're reflecting union name changes. These unions have evolved since the last restatement. Some have successor unions, some have split ups of unions, some have mergers of unions. To take one example, the old Unit 34 is now Local 424 Unit 34, and the old Local 71 is now Local 424 Unit 128. So all those references had to be updated so we'll know who is who in the cast of union characters. New union contracts. There were several of them just in 2023. And at the end of this bullet point, I'll get to the most significant one, but there are several new union contracts that the provision had to be reviewed and put into the full plan document. I already mentioned adding the newer unions, the attorneys and nurses. We incorporated the interim amendments to get them in and put them in the right places. Union name changes, I just mentioned, updates, definitions. A lot of these definitions still have some issues that we might want to review. For instance, who is a beneficiary with a small b? Who's a beneficiary with a big b, which is a defined term? How does a survivor differ from that? How does a designated beneficiary differ from that? We want to get that all rationalized so that everybody's on the same page as to what successors of death benefits are who. Eliminate unnecessary repetitive verbiage. We had provisions that were like 5 inches long and were all one sentence with a string of unions, each having its own little exceptions, and just became, we felt, unreadable. So that's all getting broken out into outline form, little paragraphs with whatever modifiers we need. I'm sorry if I'm talking little lawyer shop talk here about drafting, but that's what we're doing. So we want clarity, we want more conciseness. And when we ended up with the current round, even though we added the new joint and survivors that I'm about to get to, new unions and new broken out paragraphs, we still reduced the overall document by a full page in its length, especially by getting rid of a kind of impenetrable multi-page provision on a certain section of the Internal Revenue Code that nobody could ever review and apply. It's so complicated. And we are quite sure Hooker and Holcomb's got it automated anyway, so we can just get it down to incorporating that section of the code by reference and save about 4 pages right there. Okay, so last bullet. A new section on joint and survivor annuities. This is probably the most significant change that's taking place. Some of the unions bargained for it, and they got it done last summer for the most part. What it is, it's talking about death benefits under this plan. And it's modernizing them in a way and getting them more like what is in the private sector, where ERISA kind of mandates it. And more like, I might add, more like one of the state plans and at least one of the other big city plans. If you know an employee's length of service and salary history and age, under the old plan rules, which still apply to some unions, you could figure out the death benefit yourself. It's all set out. It's going to be 50% of what you were getting when you retired and blah, blah. Death benefits are pretty cut and dried, and there's even a table of what they are depending on how many dependents the decedent had at death. And it's just, here's what it is. Joint and survivors is different. Joint and survivor annuities, which we've incorporated in a whole new section of the plan, which has been reviewed, by the way, with the city council who negotiated these deals. You take a single life annuity. Here's what you get. We know what this is, what your single life annuity is under the plan, but dependent on your length of service and your age and your salary history. And then instead of just saying what your death benefit will be, your survivorship benefit, it gives you choices, all of which are actuarially determined. We're going to need Hooker and Holcomb more from now on with these benefits because they take that single life annuity, they put a value on it by employing interest rate assumptions and put a current value on it. And then they translate that into various survivor options that have the same value. And the employee gets a choice. You want your single life annuity? If you want a joint and survivor annuity with your spouse, you're going to take a little actuarial haircut on your own lifetime benefit in return for getting this survivor benefit that'll also last for the lifetime of the spouse. And then we have a couple of options that were negotiated as choices where you could vary that a little bit and get a certain number of years certain that you'll get the same benefit certainly for 10 years, even if somebody dies. That again is a different actuarial computation. So that's the new world of joint and survivor annuities. And it's what we're going to be looking at going forward. It may well be that additional unions will get into it as time goes on. They just haven't come up in their bargaining cycle yet. But it really is changing the world of survivor benefits under this plan. I think that's an overview. Hope I didn't go on too long or get down too far into the weeds. There's where we are. We have all this in a revised plan document, which we're now going to circulate to Leanna and Hooker and Holcomb for their thoughts. What we'd like to do is put together a sort of list of things that keep coming up, things where we're always being asked, what about this workers' compensation issue? And get them resolved in the plan document so we don't have to keep having controversy about them and getting and settling them with a legal opinion. So we're looking for these old problems that keep cropping up, and we'll try to deal with them since we've got the open book on the plan document, get them all done at once to the extent we can. That'll be the next step, and the plan that we're contemplating is to come back to you with the result. The full plan document will give you a, I don't know about a red line, we'll certainly give you the full plan document. We'll have to talk about that at the next meeting. That's the objective. So with that, I'm open to questions, comments.
Well, Jack, as trustees, we can only do a certain amount because I assume there's going to be certain things here that labor relations has to enter into because they're negotiable items. Am I correct?
Well, so our document is going to reflect what labor relations has done. So it's
Okay.
nothing that they haven't done. It's to clarify and put all in one place everything that labor relations has done. And we can certainly give it to their counsel to look at as well.
If
I would think
Jerry,
you have
if
to do, I
Jerry,
would think you have to do that, just to let them review it. You know what I mean? Internal Revenue wants it, they want it. They got the Army, Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines behind them. So what they want, they're going to get. So you're going to bring back another report, Jack, to the trustees?
Well,
That's right.
hopefully we're going to bring back the document.
Document adjusted, you okay.
Yeah, in March.
Okay.
The mayor had a question, right?
Yeah, I was just going to, I think the summary is this stuff is really complicated and all over the place and a bunch of different union contracts and historical information. And so you're compiling that all into one document. You're not done with that. There's no action for the trustees in this meeting, but in the future, there'll be some acceptance of the document. Is that correct?
Yes, it
looks like
no
I just froze.
Action is required now. We just wanted to sort of give you an update about where we were and answer any questions.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, sounds like you got a good handle on it.
We're trying.
Okay, get back to the agenda. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I've been wrong before. We're on item 10, any old business to conduct? Item 11, any new business to conduct? If not, I'd like to call upon the trustees for a vote to adjourn.
This is Kathy, so moved.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second, Susan Whetstone.
Thank you, Susan. Is there discussion on this motion? Usually isn't. The motion been properly made and second. I'd like to call upon the trustees for their individual voice vote. Trustee Graves?
Aye.
Trustee Whetstone?
Aye.
Trustee Elliker?
Aye.
Trustee Petra Simone?
Aye.
Trustee Sampieri?
Aye.
And Trustee Sagnello is also an aye. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Everybody, have a good day.
Another month.
I have Aaron.
Thank you very much.